Today on Real Life Radio.
I'm listening. If God wants me to do something, I'll do it. But I'm not going to do it because you said so. I'm going to do it because he said so. And we need to be careful in this day and age. A lot of ministry stuff going on. And your young people today are watching these knuckleheads in the name of Christianity completely destroy Christianity and make stuff up.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. So before we get into today's message, I want to tell you about our current featured resource. It's a book called 15 Future Events That Will Shake the World by Dr. Ed Heinsohn. It really digs into events that are happening right now and how they relate to biblical prophecy. So if you'd like to broaden your understanding of Bible prophecy, pick up our featured book, 15 Future Events That Will Shake the World by Dr. Ed Heinsohn for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now let's get into the message. On today's special edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now with a series of messages that we'll be breaking into on Fridays for the next few weeks. Today's message is called Signs of the Coming Antichrist, Part 2. Now, over these next few weeks, we'll look at current global events as they relate to Bible prophecy and what it really means for us as true followers of Jesus Christ. You see, the signs of the coming Antichrist are exhaustive in scope. The rapture of the church, which is called the Day of Jesus Christ, will trigger the time known as the Day of the Lord, that terrible day when the Antichrist will be revealed and the time when God will initiate his wrath on the earth. So today on this part of our Friday series, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we've been given this message in advance to prepare us for the Day of Jesus Christ. True followers of Christ look forward to this day when we will be delivered from this earth. And now, with his special message called Signs of the Coming Antichrist, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
All the Old Testament promises given to Jesse and to David, it said that David would rule. The term used is forever. He'll be a prince for 1,000 years when Christ rules on earth. David's the prince. And tremendous amounts of prophecies are fulfilled through David. But Christ is the king. Isn't that fascinating? You say, I never heard this before. Start reading in Ezekiel chapter 40 and read on. Look for the prince of the Lord. It's not Jesus, it's David. Therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return. Isn't that great? Israel shall return, not Canada. Not America, not Peru. Ask yourself, what other nation on earth returned? Jacob shall return, have rest, be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. That's when Christ returns, when the day of the Lord is over in the sense of judgment, and the day of the Lord continues out through the end of the millennial period. Absolutely remarkable. Look at verse 9 of our text today, 2 Thessalonians 2:9. The Bible says there, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Do you remember this, you guys? This is where we left off last time. If you have your notes, you remember this, that Revelation 11, verse 7 says that he's the beast. The Bible refers to him as the beast. Do you guys remember that? Say amen, please. That was so weak. Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, he was the little horn. Remember that? The little horn? Daniel chapter 8, verse 23 says that he is the king of fierce countenance, the Antichrist. We learn from 11, verse 36, Daniel 11, 36, that he's the willful king. He's going to do what he has determined. It's not anybody's will, but his will to be done. And we also learned, this is where we stopped, we also learned that in Zechariah 11, 17, and Revelation 13, verse 3, that he's known also in the Bible to the Jewish people as the worthless or idle shepherd. The Antichrist will come on the scene in great deception. That's in the future. And he's going to deceive Israel. But the Bible calls him a worthless or idle shepherd. And we read this, and it raised some eyebrows, and for good reason. He leaves the flock, it says. A sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall be completely withered and his right eye shall be totally blinded. And we said to ourselves, we asked the question, what a strange thing that is. What does that mean? And the answer was never given. We had to end the service and let you go. And here's the answer. Revelation 13, verse 7. And by the way, remember, look how you have to know the Old Testament to understand the New. Revelation 13, 3 says, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. The beast is the Antichrist, and he's going to have some form of an assassination attempt. We don't know what it is, but something is going to happen to him whereby there's a mock resurrection of the Antichrist. He's going to appear to be dead. I say appear to be dead. Some people say he's going to die and be resurrected by Satan. I can't do that. I just can't give Satan that much credit. I think he's going to appear to be dead. Or maybe the news reports. I know this would never happen, but fake news, fake news would say, he's dead. Oh my goodness, he's dead. The Antichrist is going to be somehow attacked. In his prominency, he's going to be attacked. The world's going to know it. He's going to appear to be dead. And he's going to appear to be resurrected, but he's going to have a residual. And that is a weak right hand and a blind right eye. That's amazing. Bible, such detail. Now, the good thing is, if you see that happen on CNN, you've got bigger problems. I'm not going to be here to see that. And I hope many of you are not going to be here to see that also. And then, listen, we left off at the fact that he's revealed in Scripture as the son of perdition. As far as I can tell, I may be wrong, honestly. I can only find two sons of perdition in the Bible. The Antichrist and Judas. Both of them, by the way, were possessed by Satan himself. The Bible tells us, remarkably, powerfully, the Bible tells us in John 17, verse 12, that Jesus said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. He's praying to his Father. Those who you gave me, I've kept, and none of them I've lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Judas was demon-possessed, and yet the prophecy said that there would be one that would be lost. John 13, verse 2 says that, and supper being ended, this is the upper room before the arrest, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, I don't want to spend much time in this, but I wrote myself this note because I think it needs to be stressed. Notice right here that it says that Satan put it into his heart. Everyone listen, please. In Luke 22, verse 3, the Bible records it this way. Then Satan entered Judas. Like never before in all of history, but more now than ever before, you better guard your mind. Notice, before Satan possesses someone, he puts stuff in their minds. Maybe it's as benign as a harebrained thought, we would say. Well, that's a harebrained thought. I don't know what that means, but... Well, that's a dumb idea. If something enters your mind, it could even look really good because he is the king of liars. And he says things to you. I mean, this is so obvious, it's ridiculous, but things like this. You know, that guy at work, he's really nice. You know, he's nice. He's way nicer than your husband. To me, that's like stupid obvious. But if you don't know Satan's tactics, that's where he begins with unskilled Christians. I tell you what, as you grew up with Jesus, his ability to talk and to deceive is spooky. Because he, with your spiritual development and growth, he changes the tune. He changes tactics. No wonder why Paul said, you better watch out, because he has the ability to appear as an angel of light to deceive. Oh, Pastor, I had this incredible vision. That always makes me nervous. It's like, oh gosh. What was it? And they start telling you. And as a pastor, I have to tell them, that's not from God. And they're shocked. They're shocked. Why? How do I know? Because it's completely opposite of the scripture. That's why you always beware when somebody comes up and says, God told me to tell you. Your comeback should always be this. Hey, I love the Lord too. I got ears. No, I'm serious. If you're going to tell me, Pastor Jack, I got a word for you. Well, let's see. Because I'm going to judge it against the Bible. And if God wants to tell me, I spend a lot of time waiting on him to tell me what he wants to tell me. I'm listening. If God wants me to do something, I'll do it. But I'm not going to do it because you said so. I'm going to do it because he said so. And we need to be careful in this day and age. A lot of ministry stuff going on. And your young people today are watching these knuckleheads in the name of Christianity completely destroy Christianity and make stuff up. When you hear guys saying, listen, you've never heard this before. I'm going to tell you right now. Are you ready? You've never heard this before. It's never happened before. And then they say something and it's like, what? But people who say what know the Bible. Watch out for the poor people that go, oh, right on. That's cool, right? Isn't that cool? That's good. Oh, boy. I'm sure I'm going to flub this up, but it goes something like this. If it's new, it's not true. Okay? And then if it's old or if it's ancient, basically the rhyme goes, you can stick with it. Well, I need some new truth. You can't handle the truth. The truth that's already here is what we're supposed to master. We don't need something new. I just need a new word from the Lord. Dude, you can't even figure out the original word from the Lord. Okay, he's already said it all. It's amazing to me, though. Watch out what you think. You better judge all your thoughts against the Bible because that's where Satan starts. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 3. It says, for let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, it's the day of the Lord, will not come unless the falling away comes first. There's going to be a departure from the faith. There's going to be an apostasy from the faith. When the rapture takes place, there's going to be a massive departure from the faith. Why? Because the man of sin, the man of lawlessness, the son of perdition is revealed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. I love this. This is so comforting. Now remember, 1 Thessalonians deals with the church and rapture conversations. 2 Thessalonians deals with the answer to the fear that they had missed the rapture of the church, and it deals with second coming issues. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Are you, track this, everybody. This is awesome. For when they say, not you, they, whoever they are, it's not good. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Isn't that interesting? Luke 21:36 tells us we will escape. We will escape. They will not escape. Mark that down in your margins because you're not going to see it on the screen. Luke 21:36. Jesus says, watch and pray. Be ready always regarding all those things that are coming upon the earth and pray that you escape them to stand before the Son of God.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Whoever these people are here in the day of the Lord, they are basically asleep and clueless. And Paul says to this group of believers, the church, you're not going to be tricked. Concerning the times and the seasons, I don't need to write to you. Look, nobody knows the day or the hour. Listen, you know that, right? Nobody knows the day or the hour. If somebody says, Jesus is coming back on April 14th. Okay, well, doggone it. Well, now we know it's not going to be on April 14th. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But the Bible says to the believer, because we're walking in the light, we're walking with the Lord, that we're going to look around and we're going to sense. Do you like discern? These are weird times. Now, what does that mean? Weird times come and go, but when you start looking at things, one thing sacked upon another, we can at least admit right now, things have never been like this in the world at the exact same time ever before. Does that mean that this is the time in the season? No, it may not, but it could. That's why I want you to have this message now. I want you to have it in your barrel, so to speak, or in your holster when you need it. because you've been given to it in advance. And he says, so that when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. The reason why is because, watch, you're going to be looking for Jesus. The day of Christ, we go up, and seconds later, technically, theologically, the day of the Lord begins. I love it. I love it. And please mark this down. When you read the prophetic scriptures of the Bible, the future of the Bible, do not let the new movement that is going on in the world today get into your theology, and that is replacement theology. Watch out. There's a lot of big names. You know their names. And by the way, some of the names, those stinkers, they believe in replacement theology, but they've never said so on their website or in their books, but in certain conversations, they've let it out. And say, what are you talking about? That God's done with the church? I mean, God's done with Israel, and he inserted the church wherever Israel pops up? That's the church. So listen, there's people who've built their theology and what is known as eschatology, the last days. Oh, look, the church is in the tribulation period getting beat up by the Antichrist, and he's going to behead and kill them all. No, that's not. Listen, the tribulation saints, they will be beheaded for their faith in Jesus. But how did they come to faith? John says they came to faith because of the Jews who were saved. They're called saints also. They preach the gospel during the tribulation period. The church is the church. Beautiful thing. I said this before. In Revelation 4:1, John typifies the church, and he's taken up, and he sees the world for 7 years from the vantage point of heaven. But listen, somebody will wrongly have bad theology and say in Revelation 5, oh, look, here's the church here on earth singing this song. They're in the tribulation period. Slow down and read it carefully. They sing the song and they are in heaven, and it says, Lord, glory, basically glory be to you. You've redeemed us from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. The song is being sung in heaven. You want to sing the song on earth now? Go ahead and sing it. That's fine. But nobody from the church is going to be singing it during the tribulation period. You're going to be singing that song from heaven. And yet people make that mistake. It's amazing. So church, with what time we have left, which is almost nothing, we're going to fly through this. Signs of the coming Antichrist. Number one, destabilization among the nations. According to the Bible, Satan is going to destabilize nations. In Luke chapter 21, verse 25, there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Listen up, everyone. This is technical. What I just read you is a description of what's going to be happening during the tribulation period. Listen, this is called the Olivet Discourse. Am I confusing you guys? This is called the Olivet Discourse. When Jesus reveals to the disciples regarding the last day's events that predominantly deal with Israel, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be signs in the heavens. Can you imagine? The sun's not going to put forth its light. The moon's going to look like it's blood. The moon, not moons. But that word, listen, we're not even there yet, but listen to this. In Luke 21, 25, the word distress of nations, that word means unable to be held together or holding together. You can't keep it together. Dismay or in disarray. It's almost as though the nations are in disarray now. And then the word perplexity means having no ability to be at a loss, to be perplexed. The nations having no answers. Seems like today. Number two, signs of the coming Antichrist is increasing natural disasters. They're going to increase. They're going to really culminate during the tribulation period, which the Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, starts by saying there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. Now, there's always been famines, but this is different. These are political famines. This is not because God doesn't provide. This is the manipulation of man. Pestilence, incurable viruses and diseases will begin to kill people. and earthquakes. There's always been earthquakes. Yes, but the word in the Greek implies increasing earthquakes in magnitude and in locations. In other words, the earth is going to almost, as it were, vibrate more and more. But again, this is tribulation talk. Verse 29, Matthew 24, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. Listen, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. This is at the end of the trib. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the atmosphere, or heaven, the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. The entire world, those who dwell on the earth, will start to weep and freak. This also is the day of the Lord. Remember, it's a vast period of time. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Don't confuse that with the rapture trumpet. This is the last trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. At the end of the seven-year tribulation period, those few, the Bible says there's a remnant that is still alive. He will gather them together, and they will be gathered to Jerusalem. Don't confuse this with the church or the rapture. Number three, signs of the coming Antichrist, a time of wars and rumors of wars. Remember, the context is set by Jesus himself, and all these things are regarding the yet future. Matthew 24, verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, that's why it's called the Olivet Discourse, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? That's the first question. Number two, what will be the sign of your coming? And the third question is the end of the world as we know it, or the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, false religions, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. All those are the beginning of sorrows. This has nothing to do with you. This has to do with the Olivet Discourse, friends. This has to do with the future of Israel and those who are alive at that time as believers. In fact, if you keep reading Matthew, Luke, and Mark, it says if when this happens, you need to come down from your housetop and flee Jerusalem. If you're in Judea, you better not go back home. You better run. You don't live in Jerusalem. You don't live in Judea. He even says you better hope that when this happens, it's not on the Sabbath day. See, why would that matter? Because a Jew would have a conscience problem of going over 1,500 furlongs on the Sabbath. They can't go any further than that. Jesus said, pray that this doesn't happen in the winter. Why would he say that? Because Jerusalem often gets snow. It'd be hard to escape. Remember this, church. I'm telling you guys, I know this sounds dry and it's kind of stiff, but I'm telling you, you get this down and you won't be duped by people. Yeah. Number four, global economic reset. You think Klaus Schwab made that up? That's right out of the Bible, man. Revelation 13, verse 16. He, the Antichrist, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And no one, unless you have a vaccine passport, will be able to buy or sell. Isn't that interesting? Except one who has the mark. You have an option, by the way. Isn't that nice of him? You have an option. Has mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his special message called Signs of the Coming Antichrist, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today, and what's on the horizon really does matter, and our prayer is that you've come to know Jesus personally, and that you are eagerly awaiting the Lord's return, and we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Wars, racial unrest, monetary crisis, lawlessness. Where are the strong leaders needed to guide the world through these perilous times? Answer, there are none. But one is coming. A consummate politician and man of the hour, he will appear to have solutions to these global problems and more. The Bible calls him the Antichrist. Today's church is often misinformed regarding this coming world leader, yet Christians need an accurate understanding of what Scripture teaches concerning who the Antichrist is and the extent of his supernatural deception if they are to warn the unsaved. In his series called Signs of the Coming Antichrist, Pastor Jack Hibbs analyzes current global events in light of biblical prophecy regarding the Antichrist. This telling series is available as a 3-DVD set at our website, jackhibbs.com. Don't be caught in the dark when it comes to end times events. Get the Signs of the Coming Antichrist DVD set. It's available today at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.